official online media news.
And YouTube news.
Will new regulations by the Federal Trade Commission keep YouTubers from making money off of content for kids? What's more important, revenue streams from making YouTube safe for children?
Has Spotify taken over the music business? What does Apple think about that?
Will Apple's big user base keep Spotify in check?
From behind the great firewall of China.
Why is China pressing WeChat users in the midst of the coronavirus crisis? Can the government control the coverage of the coronavirus in China?
Is Snapchat a crime fighter for law enforcement? Should Snapchat and the police be working together?
Why are the police keeping an eye on teen Snap stories?
In Facebook news, what's the latest on Facebook's war on misinformation? Should Facebook be held responsible for false political content?
Where does Facebook stand on free expression and encryption?
From the TikTok desk, why do brands love TikTok?
Are TikTok influencers the next big thing in brand marketing?
Is your phone 5G? Why not? How will your life change with 5G?
How will 5G transform journalism and the delivery of media content?
All this and more coming up on WKBW, Midwest Mary's Library, State University of Columbia College.
Who should decide what content should be monetized and what kinds of content should not be monetized? Should YouTube make the rules for a government agency? What about all the kids who watch YouTube? Are they fair game for YouTube channels that are profiting from kids' content? Who gets to decide what is labeled as kids' content? Who gets to decide YouTube's content policy? The Federal Trade Commission has issued new regulations that will affect YouTube's content policy and business model. The rules of the game are changing. A lot of YouTubers are upset about these new regulations regarding content that targets and profits from child viewers. Oscar Martinez is on the mic this morning to discuss the new regulations from the FTC and their impact on the fortunes of all the YouTube content creators who are expected to make a living from their YouTube channels. Oscar, what is the FTC and why do they have so much authority over YouTube's use of content policy?
So, yeah.
Effects of YouTube's new policy on content creators.
YouTubers have to release their videos whether or not they make them
content creators react. Oscar, let's talk to James Griffel about the digital music business. The biggest name in digital music used to be Apple. The biggest name today is Spotify. The competition to control the streaming music industry is fierce. Spotify is growing and may become the largest streaming music platform on the planet with a large subscriber base of more than 124 million users. But what about Apple Music? How big is Apple and does it have enough users to keep Spotify from dominating the global market? James, why is Spotify so successful? What is the business model and how does it differ from Apple?
Okay, so Spotify has this business model based on premium
think Spotify will stay on top of the music streaming world for years to come?
All of them. Spotify is definitely the best streaming service out there. There are artists that so many times the bottom line is everything's streaming on there. I really think it's just starting to be the best thing to do right now. So, they're definitely not going to be the best.
Why do you think Spotify? They had just acquired The Ringer, which is a sports podcast website.
Yeah, so the Ringer is a website. It's like it's pretty much centered around it's purely a sports website. It's so the podcast now is very centered. I mean, the strike.
James, let's talk about social media and the government in China. The government is cracking down on the media in the wake of the coronavirus, especially social media.
My co-host John Greenberg is on the WeMedia Beat in China for us this week. He found a report about how WeChat users have been arrested for sharing about this very scary virus. According to CNN International, almost 500 people have died, more than 24,000 people have been infected. The government of China pays very close attention to the internal and social media in China. How is the coronavirus crisis making the Chinese government even more sensitive to the government? In conversations that people are having online, they share news about this major health problem. Can China control the narrative and make negative news when it goes online? What's the problem with the Chinese government?
China is trying to control the narrative. Many negative news and rumors online. How will make that is an issue that posts information on social media is causing even more panic in a country that is already in lockdown. But it's incredibly interesting.
What is WeChat? Does it have any competition?
WeChat contains elements of the most major apps used in America rolled into one. It resembles more of an app store rather than a single app. It has more than 1 billion users worldwide as a modern staple of culture in China in 2020. WeChat was able to achieve the success in China as so much of its potential competition is not willing to comply so closely with the Chinese government's strict rules. It has next to no competition with WeChat.
How is WeChat working with the Chinese government?
Ultimately, they are working to ensure information about coronavirus posted in WeChat is verified by the Xinhua State-run news agency. Abacus, a tech news source based in Hong Kong, reports on some of the most guests on WeChat. They use the examples of saying to drink vinegar to avoid catching disease, about an infected patient escaped from a local hospital and is running the streets. China is understandably in a panic right now, so like this, that these lies to attention is much higher. Even more obvious, the Chinese government has worked with WeChat to cover users to report local authorities in case of mistreatment of coronavirus.
How controversial is the new practice in China?
The decision to risk WeChat users from spreading rumors that come with unanimous approval. South China Morning Post reports that the Supreme Court in China recommended against the arrest of the medical school alumni who mistakenly posted false information about coronavirus in a group chat in mid-December. A doctor shared information in the group about patients he was treating for disease thought to be similar to SARS, which caused similar unrest in China in 2003. He and his family end up contracting coronavirus. How the group was subject to arrest would just be in the chat room and that's the information to share.
Consumer levels be seen outside of China.
Arrests for misinformation about coronavirus most likely will not be seen elsewhere. Activist reports Germany, Russia, and France have all recently passed laws to combat the spread of fake news and social media. Elizabeth Warren has made combating misinformation on social media a point in her 2020 bid for presidency. According to her campaign website, she vows not to share information that is known and not factual by her or others, and encourages other leaders to do the same. Definitely less extreme, though social media companies themselves can be held accountable for allowing the spread of disinformation on their platforms. For Global Media News, I'm John Greenberg. Back to you, Luca.
Thanks, John. Snapchat has millions of people. Billions of young users having shared stories in public. Sometimes doing silly things, like a blast picture of four better recent trends in the news. Law enforcement seems to be using Snapchat to investigate crimes and as a monitor for surveillance. How should law enforcement use it? Is it just another tool for keeping an eye out and making breaking the law? Is there a privacy issue here? Mike, can you give us some examples of how the police are using Snapchat these days?
It all started back in 2012 when the Sandy Hook shooting back in Connecticut took place. Ever since then, Snapchat had been on the rise. There was one piece that was reported by a Atlantic Ohio kid named Jim. He posted a picture of something saying, "Oh, you guys are expect to go tomorrow and expect to go to the and shit, I suppose I guess people would take that away." And he goes, "Oh, it'll be fine by the way." So that same night, the police officer's front door. Say, "Hey, your son was coming to see for a friend to a mass shooting." They just said he's fine, and they very well communicated with the cops. He didn't seem abnormal. The police, they say he did seem abnormal. You know, all this is no big brother issue with Snapchat being used by the cops, because on Snapchat's website themselves, and if you're trying to communicate with privacy, there's a guideline that the police have to follow, which says they cannot just go inside and say, "Hey, we need your information to make those attempts to threaten them." They have to now fall guys, get subpoenas, and obtain the report systems to gain access to databases that have whatever they need to be able to solve a case or prevent the shooting.
As for Snapchat, the other law enforcement training,
more for that to start is from the shootings that actually happened so last year with the Las Vegas shooting. Also, as well as this recent event, we just put on the rise in the general conversation of Trump's office.
What features of Snapchat have been helping law enforcement agencies track some suspects or potential targets?
The main feature that I actually think has been used to Snapchat and also the offering to benefit is their geographical map. It's because if you look at the map, you're probably just access the map, you pinch in, you have the camera, and it'll show you everything. Most activity is going to show that with their feet, essentially. Right, of course, they're very active. They actually show other people's Snapchats. So, if you're just like saying, "Hey, that guy in Miami," you'll see that. You'll see everyone's Snapchats. So, that's what the police are able to use to track suspects that are in all the cases or particular threats for the shootings.
The goal meeting is, I'll have the last back to you. Thank you, Michael. Facebook has been criticized for spreading misinformation that can influence elections around the world. How big of a problem is this? What could or should Facebook do?
My co-host, Luca DiMatteo, is following the news about Facebook along with Imani Gibbs. Let's begin with Luca DiMatteo. How can Facebook stop users from spreading political misinformation that could seriously impact our presidential election? Do you know how big this problem is right now?
Unfortunately, the legality of whether or not Facebook can censor what their users view is really a question of their privacy policy. In regards to how big this problem is right now, scrolling to Facebook on a daily basis, it's almost always come across posts or videos regarding something political. It could be the president, it could be your local politics. And whether or not this information is true, that's
what are Facebook's plans to attack epidemic of false news?
Because false news is spread all over all forms of social media, it's almost impossible for Facebook to monitor everything. What they do plan on doing, though, is censoring the deepfakes, which are fake audio and visual videos, more or less you can take the face or picture of Facebook wants to try and do that. It's political deepfakes because there's so much controversy surrounding.
Is it legal for Facebook to censor what their subscribers view? Is it ethical?
Legally speaking, Facebook's at a crossroads. Whether or not Facebook can legally censor their content is a question of Facebook's privacy rights. Facebook is allowed to censor all of their material because it is privately owned. Whether or not users would consent with their decision to censor political posts is really trial and error because of how many Americans get their political information. For Global Media News, I'm Luke Zinzan. Back to you.
Thanks, Luca. Let's keep talking about Facebook with Imani. Mark Zuckerberg recently made a speech about free expression, censorship, and encryption. Why is Zuckerberg talking about free expression? And what is Facebook's policy here?
Well, recently, we have surfaced on the censorship, and what should or should not be said on social media platforms. So, for instance, on Reddit, there are free social media platforms like Google Monitor,
Facebook as a source to gain information about the upcoming election?
Well, there's no information that I received about Facebook. I will say no. Although there's no secret that they can choose what they want the followers of their audience to hear. The fact that they're deliberately allowing politicians to have that option to post, like, false advertisement, I just wouldn't trust it.
Is there any advice you would give people who use Facebook?
I would say just be careful with who you say it puts your social media to you. You know, who's watching you, who's going to share it with others. It's also not good to just post your life. The world we live in is not one of these friends.
Thanks, Imani. It's time to talk TikTok with Catherine Freeman. Are TikTok influencers the biggest thing in marketing these days? Bigger than Insta influencers? What do the big brands think about TikTok?
Famous person on Twitter should be one.
Yes, definitely true. It's not that it's a person that's really down instead of to get up and go to rest all of those. But I think it's a great possible lead without advertising the friends they have, the brands and the sponsors. Yeah, just because that's how I check
the hashtag.
Oh,
Thanks, Kathy. Is your phone 5G? What is the difference between 4G and 5G? What can you do with 5G that isn't so great? Could it really be a game changer? Let's ask Ozzy to see if he is keeping up with the latest news about the rollout of 5G. Tech reporters are making a big deal about how 5G is going to change everything. That's a big prediction. Let's take a look at some specific ways in which this new generation is going to contact the other day. Ozzy,
like the previous the bugs have been fixed, and 5G will get connectivity faster and better than the carriers using really low, so that the community of 5G can improve overall coverage. This will affect audio and video streaming platforms such as Netflix and YouTube, because most people are using the media for the announcement, the viewers will play a significant role. The Variety article stated that 56% of consumers said they did not like the video page. This problem will be gone by the time the future generations will have a big impact on demos with like huge organizations like Wall Street, Washington Post, and the New York Times will also be able to do it because the speed will be faster than we've ever seen before. The business opportunities will increase because every new venture house will be able to do a platform such as like other outlets like TV, media, and products. The Sony Vice President also said this will change. This will be a huge business because 5G can download the movies and stream the platform games seconds of late and real time.
Can 5G eliminate problems such as the consumer buffering in the previous?
Well, 5G is basically 5G is higher audio frequencies, which allow faster data transmission. So 5G has allows much faster data transmission. If you want high-bandwidth applications that stream video over your wireless network, 5G is definitely far over the limits, yes.
Do you think cable will try to merge with 5G?
Definitely, because right now, the cable speed is probably close to 5G. According to CNET, 5G is 100 megabits per second faster than the broadband. So, that's a huge difference. It's way faster than 2G.
Thanks to our producer and engineer, Brent. Thank you to my co-host, John.
Thanks, Luca. Today we heard reports from Ozzy Kassif, Michael Blass, Luca DiMatteo, Catherine Frame, John Greenberg, James Griffo, Imani Ince, and Oscar Martinez.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWW1, the Bus Barrier Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department at the State University of New York.